Hey there. Welcome to the Loco Travel Life Podcast, where we, two moms and sisters, share our experiences of traveling with our kiddos. I'm Lindsay, or as my nephews call me, Lolo.
And I'm Carly, aka Auntie Coco, and we're your hosts.
Hey there, Lolo here with a solo episode. If you listened to our last few episodes or follow us on Instagram, then you'll know that Coco and I love to travel with our families, and we recently took a family cruise, me, my sister and her family, and Nana and Papa. And because of that, we thought it would be helpful to let you know what we learned over the years when traveling with three individual family units and how setting our expectations up front really sets us up for success. Because let's be honest, traveling with your own family can be tricky, and then adding other families, it can be even trickier. In our experience, what we've learned really works well is having conversations up front and talking about the trip. This might seem like a no-brainer, but everyone's family of origin operates so differently. What I think is normal, my brother-in-law might not think is normal. And while my sister and I grew up in the same home, I've changed and evolved, and so has she. So when we go into trips, we try to discuss expectations up front to really help us be successful. And don't get me wrong, we definitely miss sometimes. But we've found this is a huge game changer in helping us all enjoy the trip. So what expectations am I talking about? There's a lot. First, expenses. Who is paying for what? This can be tricky, and also because it's a trickier topic, it's so much better in my experience to talk about it before the trip happens. Then everyone knows what to expect going into the trip. So some questions that might be helpful include, who's paying for the food? Are you splitting the cost of food? If you are, how will it be split? Is everyone responsible for their own transportation? Be clear and upfront. Who's paying for the accommodations? What happens if one family is going to leave early? Do you account for that in the equation? That's really important to talk about up front. Okay, so next is food. This is going to be highly dependent on where you're going and staying. So questions to ask is like, what is the plan for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Are we eating in? Are we eating out? Are we getting groceries? Who's cooking? Who's responsible for cooking the various meals? Are you all going to be eating at the same time? Or are some meals going to be on your own as an individual family unit? For us, on the cruise, we knew that all of us, our large party of 10, would all be eating in the main dining room each night for dinner. We knew this time was important for all of us, so that was our plan. Some mornings we ate breakfast together and some we didn't, and lunch was pretty much when anyone wanted to eat. Definitely a highlight of the cruise is that there's food available at all times, and so everyone was happy, so we didn't have to accommodate for preferences. But I will say, in 2022, Coco and I, with our families and Nana and Papa, rented a house in Orlando, and we did breakfast and lunch at the house, and then we ordered out for dinner, but we brought it in. So I guess takeout is an easier way to say that. And we've done this a few times too. In December of 2021, we met in Michigan City for Christmas, and I brought all of the food. We didn't go to the grocery store. I did all of the cooking for the most part. If I remember, Obi had offered to make prime rib in the sous vide, and so that was a trip for us. So we talked about who was responsible for cooking what. So just have a plan and know who's going to be paying for what. So next up is activities. Well, again, this is going to be very dependent on where you're going and what the overall plan is, but have an idea of what that plan is, what's going to happen each day, and also so that you can pivot if needed. And I gotta be honest, I love a good itinerary. I'm talking mapped out by the half hour. Coco and my mom's not here right now, but I promise you that they very much appreciated the well thought out itinerary for a cruise. There also was a running joke when we were all on the cruise when someone asked what was next and the response was, well, did you look at the itinerary? We had all downloaded it on our phone, so it was just really funny. But that really helped us have a good trip and kind of know what to expect and know when to pivot. And I will say, another thing you should also think about is what's one thing that each family kind of wants to do? Like, what's one activity that the family wants to do that's really important for them? So for example, a few weeks before the cruise, Coco and I were planning how we were going to do all of the free activities on the ship. iFly, laser tag, bumper cars, the North Star, so many free activities on the cruise ship, but there was only a certain amount of time that we could do them for free. So we wanted to make sure that everyone who wanted to do them got the opportunity to. While we were planning, we realized that we didn't know what Nana and Papa wanted to do. And so I called them in advance and was like, hey, Nana and Papa, what activities do you all want to do so that we can map this out? And then also I asked the next question, if you don't want to do the North Star, would you be willing to take the other three youngest kiddos because they're not old enough to do it? Because that was going to be a time commitment for them to have with three kids, and were they willing to do that? And so talking about that in advance was so important. And then also, this is extended family example, but every year for the past few years, we've taken a friend trip to Hocking Hills, and some of us go on the hikes and some of us don't. So knowing what's the expectation that everyone does everything together, is it okay if some of the families take some time away? Do you want to build that into your itinerary? So really talking about that, because I think if you don't, it can bring up some resentment and frustration from all parties involved. And so talking about it in advance, 10 out of 10, recommend. Okay, so next up, I know I'm going really fast, but next up is sleep. So this might be something that you're thinking, well, Lindsay, doesn't the individual family units just take care of bedtime? Okay, moving right along. I know I'm flying through these, but the next one is sleep. The sleep struggle can be real when traveling with kiddos. Combine different schedules and styles, and it's a logistical nightmare. Coco and I have very different sleep styles for our kiddos. We spent a whole episode talking about our differences in episode 4, and I'll link that in the show notes below. But if you want to know, like, sleep, the questions to ask are, how are you going to manage naps and bedtime? You might assume that each family is responsible for their own kiddos, but it's good to chat about it. It's also good to chat about, like, are we gonna nap? Are we not gonna nap today? So for the cruise, we decided that on sea days, we were gonna nap our children, and then on beach days, we were going to not nap our kiddos. I actually ended up stroller napping Kai on the beach. We didn't leave, but Kai needed a nap. He'll be 3 in April, and so it just wasn't at the point where he could not nap. But Coco chose that her kiddos didn't need a nap on the port days, and that was okay. And then also on the cruise, we shared nap and bedtime routines as couples. You might assume that each family unit is responsible for their own kiddos, but it's good to chat about it. Because in our family, at least with Coco and Ryan, we're willing to share the load with our kids so that each of us as adults and couples can get a break. And Nana and Papa are so kind and gracious to also help. But we also didn't want any of the burden to be on one couple individually. We had a 6-night cruise, so each couple was responsible for 2 bedtimes. So that looked like Kai on Obi and I's nights, Obi would put Kai to bed, and then I took my 3 nephews and put them to bed. And then Nana and Papa and Coco and Ryan had the evening to themselves after bedtime to go do whatever they wanted on the cruise. And that was great. And we talked about it in advance because we didn't want Nana and Papa to feel like they had to, like this is a vacation for them too, and we didn't want to take advantage of them. But we're so grateful that we were able to all work together to do that. I will say bedtime at a shared house was a little easier because we were able to put the kiddos down for naps and bedtimes, and then we were able to have adult time, play games, chat, all of the things, but that wasn't on the cruise, and that's okay. Another question to ask, and this is really more dependent on what your lodging situation looks like, but if you're sharing a house, who's sleeping where? How does that look like? So I know some of these conversations aren't easy. Some of these questions can be tricky to ask, but in my experience, trips where I've taken the time to discuss expectations up front goes so much smoother than when I haven't. The next time you take a trip, take some time to think about everyone's expectations, even if you aren't traveling with your extended family. These are great questions to ask each member in your own family unit. And I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you have any questions about traveling with extended family, feel free to send us a direct message on Instagram at Local Travel Life. We'd love to chat with you and help you get out there, face the loco, and take that next adventure.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Loco Travel Life podcast. Until next time, Loco Travel Lifers, get out there, face the loco, and enjoy your next adventure. You've got this.